Hello, Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. It's good to be back again after our week's staycation last week. I'd like to thank Jodie for standing in for me by recording and doing a sermon. I've had good feedback on that sermon, so that's really good. So we're both back again this week. And because it's the first Sunday of the month, we have the habit of celebrating Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper together. So if you want to join that part of the service with us, press pause now and go and get some bread and some wine or some liquid substitute for that if you want to be part of the communion part of this worship together. And you're very welcome to participate in that if you're seeking to follow Jesus. So let's commend this time into God's presence. Let us pray. Father God, we are in our homes. We are not gathered together in a building together, but we are gathered together in your presence. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon each one of us in our households, that we would encounter you through this time of worship, through the prayers, through the readings, through your word, and through the bread and wine that we share together. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your life and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jodie's going to come now and bring our scripture reading, which is from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22.
It's titled, Jesus Clears the Temple Courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves and others, sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
Thank you, Jodie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we seek to apply it to our lives and our situation today, that your Holy Spirit would come and breathe life into what I say, and that you would speak your living word to your people who are listening online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With our church building still closed at the moment, this passage, this episode of Jesus's clearing or cleansing the temple seemed to me a fruitful avenue to explore. In the past year, and it is a year now, we have all been going through a process of clearing out, of cleansing, of being stripped to the bone, back to the basics of what our faith is. John places his story of the clearing of the temple very near the beginning of his gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke place it later, but it probably refers to the same incident. John is just making a different theological point in the way he places it earlier on in his gospel. When we look at this story, we assume that Jesus is angry when he clears the temple, but it doesn't say so in the text. I think he was angry at what he saw. But what was he angry about? It says in verse 14, in the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So they were selling animals and exchanging money in the temple courts. Now, the temple courts was the place that was reserved for non-Jews, for Gentiles, that they could come in and participate in the worship. They weren't allowed into the court, the inner court area, where the people of Israel or the Jews could gather, but they were allowed in the outer courts. But now that place had been taken by all this commercial enterprise. And that is one of the reasons that Jesus is angry. As Mark puts it in his version of this event, in Mark 11, verse 17, he says, Jesus says, "And he taught them," he said, "is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it into a den of robbers." So he was angry that the Gentiles were excluded from prayer, excluded from worship. This area was meant to be a place of prayer for all nations, not just for Jewish people, but for the Gentile nations too. And that place had been taken up by lots of animals and selling and commercial enterprise. Imagine being in that area and trying to pray, trying to meditate, trying to be quiet when all this is going on around you. It would have been impossible to pray and to meditate and to worship in that context. Jesus was probably also annoyed at the inflated prices for the sacrifices too. You had to have your animal that you brought along to be inspected. And normally they would just refuse it and say it's not perfect enough. And they'd have to buy one from the temple at inflated prices. I was reading a commentary earlier this week and it talked about it would normally be about 4 pence or something like that to buy some doves for a sacrifice. But if you bought them in the temple, it would be about 75 pence or something like that. So it was about nearly 20 times the price. It was a real rip-off situation there. So people were making money and extorting, especially the poor, and getting them to pay for these sacrifices and animals. So I think he would have been annoyed about that too, but primarily because the Gentiles were being excluded from worship because their area was being taken over by commercial enterprise. The temple was meant to be a place of encounter with God in prayer and worship, but it had become a big business, a racket for making money. I don't think we come to church to make money, although sometimes you can worry a lot about finances and money and our sustainability and forget to put God at the center of what our worship is all about. We don't sell animals for sacrifice, but are there ways we exclude outsiders as the Gentiles were excluded? How welcoming are we really? Do we have a culture where the new person, the newcomer, takes priority over chatting with our friends? As we think of the church opening up in the coming weeks and months post-lockdown, we need to find a space that will be open for the lonely, for those who are suffering from mental health problems due to the lockdown, those that need human contact and friendship. And how can we do that in safe ways in the future? Perhaps by having coffee mornings where it's open to the wider community, where they can come and make friends and have companionship in that sense. And if we do that, it's not just for church members to chat to people that they know, but for the reaching out into the wider community. I like the picture of Jesus making a whip and driving out the animals. I don't think he was whipping the people and causing violence to humans, but I think he was whipping the animals and setting them free in that situation. And he did drive out the animals and the money changers, if only for a brief moment in time. It wouldn't have lasted very long. He disrupted the work and the worship that was going on with the business situation there in the temple. And only for a brief time, because business would have returned to normal. But it was a prophetic act. It stopped it. And it was a sign that the temple in the future, which was under judgment and was corrupt, would come to an end. And we know that that happened about 30 years later with the destruction of the temple by the Romans. And that was a sign of vindication of what Jesus has said and the judgment that this corrupt temple was under at that time. But if we apply it to our own situation, what needs to be driven out of our own lives to make space for God and for other people? What attitudes and practices need to change in the way that we do church? Maybe during this time of lockdown, we have found more time to pray and to meditate and to read God's word. And that's something that we should value and cherish and take into our new life post-lockdown. But how do we make space for other people? It might be a while before people feel safe enough to come to our church. But when they do, hopefully, and we pray that they will, what sort of welcome will they receive? And will we see them as a priority or just hang around in our friendship groups of people that we know and are comfortable with? When Jesus was doing this prophetic and revolutionary act, this act of non-violent protest, although it was a bit violent, but not violent towards humans. And if it was a bit violent to animals, it was for their well-being. But this sort of act of street theater, of protest that he did, this prophetic act of condemning the temple, the Jewish leaders were obviously annoyed by all this, to put it mildly. And in verse 18, they say, the Jews then responded to him, the Jewish leaders, what sign can you show us to prove you have authority to do all this? And then Jesus answers them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, he wasn't talking about the physical temple. In this sense, the temple he was talking about was the temple of his body. And the temple of his body would replace the temple. It would be the place of encounter with God. And later on, the disciples understood this. In verse 22, it says, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Then they realized that Jesus' body had replaced the temple. He is where the people would encounter God. And the temple was destroyed, never to be rebuilt. Jesus is where we encounter God now. And after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, we are his body, his temple. The people of God, Jesus' disciples, are the new temple. We don't need a building. We are the temple. But we do need to gather together as a community, as we are a temple together. It's not an individualistic thing. It's a communal and social and collective thing. And together, as we gather together, God dwells in our midst. And this is what we need to be attentive to God's presence in our midst. And this is what really matters. And this is why we come together, to worship God and to seek his presence together. We can do that at home, but it isn't the same. And I look forward, I long from when we can gather together again as living temples of the Holy Spirit, and to worship and to seek God together. And hopefully it won't be long now. We'll still have some restrictions, but hopefully they will lessen in the coming weeks and months, and we can gather together to seek him together, not because the church building is somehow holy, but because we gather together as his people, and his presence is in us and amongst us. And we gather to encounter him and to worship him. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that through Jesus, who is the new temple, we don't need to see buildings as being particularly special. We thank you that through his death and resurrection, and through his ascension and through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that we who are now members of his body are temples of your Holy Spirit. And we meet you as we gather together and to worship. Lord, we long to be able to gather together in person in the coming weeks and months. But help us to be patient for that day, and help us through these difficult months when things aren't going to get back to normal quickly. And even when they do, it will be a new normal. But help us to seek you in the midst of these situations, that you will be in the midst of your people. And for this, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. We are now going to move to a time of Holy Communion. So if you don't have some bread and some wine and you want to participate, then press pause and go and get some. If you don't have anything with you, you can still participate in this part of the service if you wish to. So let's now gather to celebrate communion together. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in, from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine, become like the least, and found at the feast. Gather us in. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come if you have much faith, and if you have little, if you have been here often, and if you have not been for a long time, if you have tried to follow, and if you have failed, come. Not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. So let's listen now to that familiar story. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so also. Loving God, when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we had lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms were open wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Lord God, As we come to share in the riches of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of your nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Heal our church in every brokenness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you." And then he took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which has made a new relationship possible with God because of my death. Take this, all of you." So look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. So let's now share together. Let's take the bread and share it with one another. Jodie, body of Christ, broken for you. Jesus took the cup and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the new cup of the covenant sealed with my blood. So drink this. Take your wine and drink it and share it. And remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be grateful." Blood of Christ shed for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on and take us with you. Amen. As we are gathered around the Lord's table, it is right that we bring our prayers. For others. So let us pray. Father God, we pray for our church family here at Carey. We pray for the diaconate as we meet on Tuesday to discern about when it's right to open again, and guide us and lead us in our conversations as we look into the future. Lead us into your vision and your purpose for us as a church family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those in our church families and those who are known to us, who are particularly struggling at the moment through ill health, caused by isolation due to the pandemic and the lockdown, and those that are suffering through infection, and those who are struggling with their mental health. And in a moment's quiet, we remember those before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for the rollout of the vaccine program here in the UK. And me and Jodie would have received our vaccine by the time you listen to this, hopefully. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for all who are working in that. And we thank you for the direction of travel with lowering levels of infection, hospitalization and death. And we pray that that would continue. And we pray for self-control within the British populace as things open up. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the situation in Northern Ireland and the relationship between the Republic and the North of Ireland and the problems there with the Irish Sea and the Brexit issues and some of the conflict that's stirred up there. We pray for peace and for a negotiated settlement to some of those political issues at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Pope Francis's visit to Iraq. We pray that you would keep him safe, and we pray that his visit would be a blessing to your people there, and that you would bring good fruit of peace and restored relationships through that visit at this time. You keep people safe also from potential catching of COVID in those events. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's quiet, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Let us pray. I'll close with a prayer for the church. Spirit of Jesus, come with fire that refines, water that refreshes, wind that topples, breath that fills. Kindle a global revival of empathy, justice, and active peacemaking. Birth a witness of love that is bigger and better than we have inherited. Liberate us from privilege and oppression. Unshackle the gospel from nationalism, colonialism, white supremacy, and every other lens that shrouds the good news. Give us an abundance of grace for others and ourselves. Grant us compassion for those who suffer. Free us from the influence of money, power, and acclaim. Restore our reputation for caring for the poor, loving our neighbours, being ambassadors of peace and stewards of the earth. Unlock the immense resources hoarded in the Western Church and release them for your name's sake. Encourage us so we do not grow cynical, isolated and burnt out. Fan our hopes, our joys and our connections. Allow us rest when we need rest. Enable us to see you in each person we encounter. Show us mercy in our humanity. Let us love more fully than we thought possible. Let us not be quick on the draw, ready to retaliate, escalate, assassinate. Let our collective fervour for justice eclipse institutional concerns. Let us trust and follow the wisdom of those who have been marginalized. Let us persevere in creating safe places of worship to eat bread and drink wine together. Let us stand for love and with love, following the way of your Son as best we're able. Let us not fear an experiential spirituality. Let us listen to the wondrous bodies you gave us. Let us hear your voice and tangibly feel you within us. Let us discern your guidance. Let us abide in and with you. Show us what we are doing so that we can work together with you. Move where you will, where you will, when you will, in whatever way you will. Come, Holy Spirit, and restore your church. Amen. And a closing blessing. The cross, we shall take it. The bread, we shall break it. The pain, we shall bear it. The joy, we shall share it. The gospel, we shall live it. The love, we shall give it. The light, we will cherish it. The darkness, God will perish it. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining us online, and go well, and God bless.